Hello, my name is Ellie C.B. Wallace, and this is going to be my fourth podcast episode in my podcast for my Berlin-Brandenburg Economic Archive internship. And for this episode, I'd like to talk about Philip Holtzman and his company, because, I talked about it earlier on one of the projects that I'd been working on, sorting and categorizing the diaz that had been gifted to us, and are currently residing in our photo magazine, in our archive. And then my boss was like, Ellie, you talked so much about, like, the cool things you did, but you neglected to tell your audience, like, what exactly Philip Holtzman as a company did. And I'm like, gosh darn it, you're right, which is how this podcast theme came about. This is Philip Holtzman and his company. So, a quick fun fact, actually. Philip Holtzman as a company, I learned, was founded in 1849. And, like many things in Europe, things are old. Philip Holtzman as a company is old. However, 1849 is 5 years before my hometown of Omaha, Nebraska was founded. Which is pretty neat, in my opinion. I love learning about old things. That is why I'm a history major. But yes, Philip Holtzman as a company was founded in Frankfurt am Main in, of course, Germany in 1849. Just general reasons, if I refer to anything as just Frankfurt, then I mean Frankfurt am Main and not Frankfurt an der Oder. Frankfurt am Main. But yes, so it was this building company established in 1849, and, you know, by the time we got to the latter part of the 19th century, they were starting to really make a name for themselves. They were building some really cool things. Like, for example, Amsterdam Central Railway Terminal in 1882. In the 1880s, they actually helped to, they helped with the stonemasonry work for the old Reichstag building in Berlin, which is super cool, in my opinion. I mean, among the other things. But even so early on in their company's history, they were already kind of starting to go international. They helped in Turkey with building the Anatolian Railroad. Obviously, I talked about Amsterdam earlier, which is not in Germany, but, like, even early on, it was, like, in 1906, they were establishing subsidiaries in countries like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, like, a lot of South American countries, and not just in Europe as well. And then in 1917, they then became a general partnership, and finally a GmbH, a limited liability company, in 1917. A lot of companies today, you will see the GmbH kind of denoting it as a company. I'm blanking on the American counterpart, but yeah. Before even World War I came around, they were building, like, skyscrapers in Buenos Aires, for example. And in the U.S., they were building a port system for Buffalo and the Barge Canal in New York. They kind of pioneered several different building techniques as well, what's now known as the Berlin Method. And they continued to build a lot of different things within Germany before the First World War, buildings, bridges, tunnels, like, you name it, they had generally a hand in it. They also did some stuff during World War II and World War I. There's not a lot of information on that, so I'm not really going to cover it all that much here. I just couldn't find a lot. But after the World War, they had this, they really helped with what's now known as Germany's, quote, economic miracle in that post-war period, and they really began to stretch their legs and become really one of the largest, like, construction companies in the world. in the 1970s, they really began to branch out into the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, for example, Iraq, Iran. They were kind of a bit sketchy. There was some turmoil that forced them kind of out of those two countries, but they were there. And they also, like, this is kind of about when they started to spring into the U.S. They started a small, like, venture in Gary, Indiana, classic Midwestern state, but they also began to work in partnership with the J.A. Jones Construction in North Carolina, and then I believe they bought a J.A. Jones later on, but I'll get to that a little bit, in a little bit, but yeah. They also were able to do some really cool things in, like, Mexico and Malaysia, in which they built the Petronas Towers in Malaysia. At the time, it was the tallest building in the world, but, like, up until then, they had a hand in that, and I know that's pretty iconic in the area. Something that I found that I really, really wish I could find more information on is that, I mean, in various websites that I explored in order to research this company, there's a lot of different websites that talk about how, like, apparently Philip Holtzman was involved in some restoration of the Capitol building in the 90s, but I cannot for the life of me find, like, information on that, and that makes me really sad because that's, I mean, obviously, as an American, like, that's really cool to me. I mean, the Capitol building is old, it's delicate, and, like, it needs a lot of renovation. And so to hear that this German company that I was just organizing in the archives in the Diaz section was actually working on, you know, my country's Capitol building, I think that's just a really cool piece of information that I completely did not expect. The late 1990s, though, was kind of, a really downward spiral for the company. They faced some really difficult years, in their own words, in 1996 and 1997. And, but overall, that's really when it began, the downward spiral that led to the liquidation, and then, obviously, it is now defunct. It's not functioning anymore. One thing I really wanted to emphasize, though, is it's so interesting for me to see, like, this direct evidence of this company's existence, I guess. Obviously, I was working with a lot of photos of these projects, a lot of which, for me, were at least in the Middle East, and the photos of these projects within the Middle East helping to build in Saudi Arabia, for example, you know, ports and dams and all of this really complex stuff. It was a very, very large company that had a hand in all of these big building projects to the extent of even, like, the U.S. Capitol. But it's so interesting because I'm relatively new in my studies. I'm only 20 years old. My birthday happened between the first a couple episodes, and actually seeing this physical evidence that this company existed and seeing their own documents and then being able to go online and read about it is just, I don't know, it was just really cool for me in a way that I haven't been able to really experience before because of my lack of experience. And so, yeah, and yeah, just making that connection of, wow, this company existed, and I could, in theory, do, like, actual physical research on it within the archive that is at, like, at my disposal that I'm sitting in right now. And that's kind of what I wanted to take away from this. Obviously, this company was huge, it was important, but even today, it's still leaving its mark, and it's still, we still have the documents of all that they have achieved. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will get to recording the next one very, very soon. I hope you have a good rest of your day.